Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 105 this morning? Psalm 105. Allow me to read to you the first several verse of this great psalm. It has its historical linkage to 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. Join me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we prepare now our hearts to look into the book. We realize that we are somewhat passive in this, and we rely totally upon Your marvelous grace to open to us the Scriptures, to give us an understanding of the holy. And then courage, dear Heavenly Father, to act upon what we read and to what the Spirit inserts into our heart. We're so thankful today, dear Heavenly Father, that we can be here on the Lord's Day, beautiful day, realizing, Lord, that we are living at a momentous time on the threshold of all history. And certainly the heart's desire of the people of God is to be with You rather than here. And so, Lord, until that becomes an actuality, may it be, Lord, that our hearts are at all times with You, and at all times that You are enthroned in our heart. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, today for Your mercies upon our group and for our sister churches as well, that wherever there are people lost, that they might hear the gospel and be saved. And wherever the saints dwell and there are saints in need of revival, we pray, Lord, that You would grant that. Oh, that all of God's people, learn to abide in Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, we might give a serious attention to the book, the study at hand. We ask Your Heavenly Father for Your help for every single individual who has come in today with their special concerns and their burdens, the issues of life in which they now deal. Ultimately, Lord, the solution to our problems is You. And yet we realize, and humbly so, that life is not about us. All of life is about You. Help us, Lord, to live unto that end, to exalt You, adore You, love You, to give ourselves over unto You for every manner of service. And then, Lord, as You put us to work, bless with the fruit of labor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105 and 1 Chronicles 16 are linked historically. And when God is where He wishes to be, which is the true center of your life and mine, it incites a spirit of thankfulness. It has been pointed out to me that thankful people are faithful people. Because at the center of life is a focus upon God that transcends mere formalities. Thankful people, as we point out in this psalm, do three things in the few verses that we will look at. Thankful people are singing people. Thankful people speak of the Lord. And thankful people seek the face of the Lord. This entire psalm is theocentric. And again, I remind you that life is all about Him, our God. Not about you. It's not about me. It's not about we. Life is about God. And I want you to note the personal references. Just quickly come with me to Psalm 105 and notice the numerous times in which the writer, by divine inspiration, draws attention to our God. In verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. His name. Make known His deeds among the people. In verse number 2, talk ye of all His wondrous works. In verse 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. That's a very key place in the Scripture. And I know that once you understand exactly what that means, you would wish to be there constantly. Remember verse 5, His marvelous works. In verse 7, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded. Verse 11, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. In verse 14, He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes. In verse 16, He called for a famine upon the land. In verse 17, He sent a man before them. If you follow on over to verse number 27, they showed His signs among them. In verse 28, He sent darkness and made it dark. And they rebelled not against His word. He turned their waters into blood. In verse 31, He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies. Verse 32, He gave them hail for rain. He smote their vines. He spake, and the locust came. In verse 36, He smote also all the firstborn of the land. And then He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He spread a cloud for a covering. In verse 40, He brought quails, satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river, for He remembered His holy promise. Verse 43, He brought forth His people with joy, and His chosen with gladness. To what end all this? Verse 45. That they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. The whole psalm is about Him. The whole psalm. Now, 1 Chronicles 16 provides ample reason to be thankful. We'll look at that a little bit later. But there in that chapter, it talks about the symbolic presence of God being restored to Jerusalem. It's apparent rightful place in the midst of God's people. After, of course, as you understand, there was a long and tragic absence. And we learn in that particular place that when God is in His right place, blessings always abound. Even when they made attempt to move the ark back to Jerusalem, they made a mistake. And there had to be a 3-month layover at a certain man's house. And it is said that while the ark was in the man's house, God blessed the place. God blessed the place. In the presence of God, there are blessings. Unbelievable, unlimited, fantastic. In the presence of God. When God is in His rightful place as King, there are blessings, marvelous blessings, at our disposal. The greatest of which, of course, is to bask in the light of His presence. Now, again, I said there are three things that thankful people, on the basis of this 105th Psalm, do. Thankful people sing. Thankful people sing. Please look at the 105th Psalm, verse number 2. Sing, and I want to mark and etch in your heart the next two words as well. Sing unto Him. Sing unto Him. It is imperative that when we sing, whether we sing in the shower, whether we sing in the car, whether we sing going down the sidewalk, whether we sing as part of our devotional life, that we sing unto Him. We sing always with the understanding that God is the audience and the primary beneficiary of our praises. It ought never be reversed. Man ought never to be the focus. Singing ought never to be done simply and solely for entertainment purposes. Singing ought never to be done simply to exalt human beings and their serious talents and abilities in the area of music. It is always that thankful people, a faithful people, are a singing people. And the word here, sing, gives the sense of this kind of singing. It's like a strolling minstrel. A strolling minstrel. You know, the kind of person that they're walking, or as they're going through life, they sing. There's a song in their heart. There's a spring in their step. They have something that they wish to express spontaneously and sincerely to their God. And so they sing. It's sort of like the idea that you have where singing occurs in a processional. Keep your spot here in Psalm 105 and look at 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. It is said there that after his great event, 1 Samuel 18, verse number 6, it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, military victory, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And when I find, and as I look into the essential content of what they were singing, there is this one great serious flaw. Do you realize that in the course of their singing, that they laid the attribute for victory at the feet of human beings? At the feet of human beings. Saul? David? What could either man do on his best day without God over the shoulder? But the point I make is that the singing carries in mind the notion of as you are going through life, you sing. The heart is full of expression of praise to God. It is sort of in the same sense that the Great Commission is given in Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, or as you are going, while you are living, while you are moving from day to day and meeting people to people, disciple them. Present the gospel to them. It is in the same sense that thankful people sing, that as they are going, as they journey through each day, each life, part of their life, and people that they meet, that always there is an expression of praise in their heart for God. They sing unto Him. Now, when we apply this, we are certainly going through life. We sing a song in our hearts. Just like in the New Testament, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says to them, by way of instruction, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know what's connected to all that? He says, making melody in your heart, melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, why would there be melody in my heart for the Lord? Spirit of thankfulness, as I scan over all that God has done in the generations preceding mine to people before me that I have never known and likely will never see, and yet to know that God has supremely blessed even me, even you. Has He not done that? So as we sing unto ourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And the very next verse in the context of Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks for all things. There is an element of thankfulness in this matter of singing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. He is the audience. It is therefore imperative that our offering be befitting of His magnificence. We dare not sing praises unto Him that fall beneath His dignity. And again, it comes back again. What is our perspective of God? Do we have a high and noble and lofty view of God? Or is He just some undefinable being of my own imagination, in which then that occurs, one tends to bring Him down to His own level? And thus life takes that course, a lowly course, unfulfilled course. Sing unto the Lord. Over and over and over again, the psalmist says, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Sing unto God. Sing praises unto God. Sing unto Him a new song, but sing unto Him. Sing unto Him. So whether it is in the privacy of your own heart, in those inaudible utterings of the soul in which you find yourself just gushing forth with praises for Him, be it unto Him, or whether it is when you find yourself asked to share your skills and your abilities in music before people, that you sing unto God. Be as willing to sing unto God as if there were no one but Him present in the room. Be willing to sing as they do in some churches in the land where you are out of sight and totally obscure to the entire congregation. In some churches there is a balcony behind the congregation that worships in which all the music is rendered. There is no opportunity then for personal ambition or advancement. It is that they sing unto the Lord. And secondly, thankful people speak. The verse in Psalm 105 that we look at is in verse 2. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Talk ye. And the word gives this sense. It is to muse out loud. To meditate out loud. Now, do you think yourself or someone else crazy when you see something like that going on? I'm used to it now, but I kind of got freaked out on a couple of occasions out in public places where I would be passing a dude and he'd be carrying on a full conversation, unashamed, completely cavalier about it. And I walk on by him and I look over my shoulder and thinking, you know, what's up with this guy? And here find out he's got one of those stickers in his ears to talk. And he's talking to somebody on the telephone. You know, there was a time when that was new to me. Sitting in a restaurant watching a guy waiting for the waiter to come and make his order. And so the guy comes, he takes his order, and the guy goes away, and the guy's still talking. And he's all by himself. I'm thinking, I guess heavy heart, must be doing a lot of heavy thinking. You know, the person he can talk to without getting any comment or criticism is himself. Ever been that way? Do you find it a little bit embarrassing to think out loud? Maybe there are those around you who, when they hear what you're thinking, would rather you didn't. But the sense of this word, talk ye, is a word that means to meditate out loud. For surely that which fascinates the heart must find expression. I can think of a couple of examples that we draw back in the Old Testament. If you'll keep your place here again, look in Exodus chapter 12. How could you have not been a part of this event on this particular night and not been awestruck with what had occurred. In Exodus chapter 12, and verse number 27. Exodus 12 and number verse number 27. Talk ye all of all his wondrous works, and you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. How could you have not been a part of that night when the death angel swept through Egypt and every home in the land was touched with the death of the firstborn except your home and your neighbor's home? Because of one blessed reason, the blood of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, had been spread around the door. That being God's satisfactory signal that all would be well inside that home. How could you have lived forever or for that day forward and ever forgotten the significance of your physical deliverance from Egypt? If you move over into Exodus 13, there again it is encouraged in the 8th verse and the 14th verse about what God was set to do in delivering the Israelites through the body of water, the Red Sea. Now, my friends, had we been eyewitnesses of that and had we been cowering down in our houses that night while the shrieks of Egypt's children and Egypt's families were all boiling around us, on the morning we leave, how could we have ever forgot what we heard, what we know to have happened, that God hath delivered our house? When God saved your soul, on the occasion where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are those moments of God's initial grace in your life just as stunning today as they were when it first occurred? Are you not overwhelmed with the flood tide of His grace since then and how He has kept you unto this day? Does it not overwhelm your heart to know that He has promised to keep you unto the day of redemption and then, glory of glories, present you faultless and blameless and stand before Him one day at last? Talk ye of all His wondrous works. The greatest work that can occupy our conversation, casual or formal, is the cross. The cross. Oh, the power in the cross. Talk ye of all His wondrous work. Make known His deeds among the people, the psalmist says. And then, please, see the third thing. The word seek. Seek the Lord in verse 4 and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. This word is a word that gives this sense. It means to follow along a well-cut or a well-marked-out path. You know, parents, those who have been, who are, and will be, you must be ever careful and discerning that you are marking out a path for your children to follow as it concerns the worship of your God. This word seek means to follow along in a well-cut, well-marked path. And it implies that that path has been frequently trod upon. It is a path that leads to worship. It is to cut a discernible trail through frequent usage. Seek the Lord, seek His face forevermore. Here's an expression of favor. Expression of favor. I know that you have all experienced, whether it has come from the countenance of your parents once upon a time, or a grandparent, or a husband, a wife. You all know what it's like to have been sitting there or standing there to fall under the unfavorable, ugly countenance of another person. And that countenance has sent, without a word spoken, has sent to you a signal in your heart that you have never forgotten. Do you realize that as old as I am, I can go back in my days of my youth and still remember like it was a haunting or an oil painting etched somewhere in my brain, the scowls and the frightful countenances of different authority figures in my life? Didn't have to say a word, but I knew that what I had just done did not meet the standard, nor much meet with their approval. I've never forgotten those things. On the other hand, we've all been on the other side of that, where we have been in the presence of a favorable countenance, where you have done something, said something, and without a word being said, the expression on the person's face sends this signal of divine approval. Divine approval. Why isn't it a great thing to know that you can have a peace, the peace of God and peace with God, to know that you could stand before God even in this very moment and receive and stand under Him and receive His divine smile of favor and approval upon your life. Seek His face forevermore. It is to bask in the smile of God's approving countenance, as one would have done or have been afforded in 1 Chronicles 16. It would have been the desire of an Ezra who, when he went to the in a great prayer revival in Ezra chapter 8, where it is said that they would seek for him a right way for their little ones, that they might know the hand of the Lord would be upon them. It is when one wishes to be, when caught in the throes of sin's consequences, was Daniel of old in Daniel chapter 9. To him it was a marked blessing to be before the smiling countenance of the Holy God, to know that there was divine favor afforded to him. It is said in the Scriptures that in the light of the king's countenance is life, and in his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Would you please go back to 1 Chronicles 16 just for a moment? First Chronicles 16. As I mentioned to you before, there's a background in which the ark of God has been absent from its rightful place for a long period of time. And predictably, the blessings of God upon His people absent in due kind. And so here we have in the 16th chapter the arrangements being made for the ark to be returned. The ark, of course, the symbolic presence of God. And I want you to notice that there is that historical linkage between this 105th Psalm and 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 7, for example. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek, and here it is, seek His face continually. Seek the smile of God's favor continually. Live in such a way as that the smile of God's holy countenance will be upon you for good, and His hand undergirding you and surrounding you and keeping you securely all the days of your life. There is a tremendous blessing For now the ark was in its rightful place. They had prepared a tent for it, and the ark would be placed inside the tabernacle. And there God would meet in the midst of His people, all of the tribes surrounding the tabernacle, all of the sacrifices being brought daily to the temple. And there they would have fellowship with God. There the desire of the heart of God's people, secure now that God was in their midst once again, would have fellowship, could have fellowship with Him. And to know that as they would bring their sacrifices, that they would indeed have the smile of God's favorable countenance upon them. Back, please, in Numbers chapter 6, there is this great priestly blessing. Numbers chapter 6, which basically gives the fuller sense of seeking His face. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and I want you to remind you, the Lord is speaking to Moses. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. Now that's the same sense in Psalm 105. Seek His face evermore. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I look at these particular verses. Marvelous blessings here recorded. That God would smile upon all those who seek Him. Here it is said in conclusion that a thankful soul rejoices in divine security. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord is your unslumbering sentinel, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Here, the thankful soul rejoices to dwell under the smile of God's favor. That is the saint's chief desire. That I may know God, not merely know about Him. That I may know God and enjoy Him forever. And always there is that unbreaking camaraderie because there is the smile of God upon me. Because there is the desire in the heart to honor Him. And so there is that divine smile. And then verse 26 says, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I know from my youthful days that my father was adept in a twofold mode of discipline. One I preferred and the other I tried to avoid. The one that I preferred was His countenance. And whenever I did not meet His expectations, I could see it all over His face. And there was no peace in Mudville that day. And if it was not quickly and efficiently remedied, the second side of that coin of discipline, which would be this, He would bring to bear the rod, thereby disturbing the peace. But here it is that the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And so the thankful soul rejoices in divine serenity. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to come into God's house on the Lord's day at peace. What a wonderful thing it is to live through the day at peace with God. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to lay down your head on the pillow at night and be at peace with God. For the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, has cleansed us from all our sin. And God makes it so profoundly simple to fellowship with Him. And yet, He does not drive us to His feet. He does not compel us. He does not force us. He says, seek, seek His face evermore. The Lord make His face to shine upon each of thee today. Would you pray with me, please? Daniel, would you come? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the Scriptures. Thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we trust, Lord, that what has been needful and necessary to the heart of Your people has been imparted generously. Bring glory to Yourself now in the outworking of Your Word in each heart and each life. Thank You, dear God, for Your kindness. For Jesus' sake. Amen.